Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me. This is the Mikey on Mute podcast, a podcast where we talk about mental health, how to break the stigma of reaching out for help, and so much more. A disclaimer, I am not a licensed therapist. This podcast is not intended to provide medical advice or be any sort of replacement for therapy. Please research the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, website at NAMI.org to check the resources that work for you. The following episodes may include triggers such as talk about suicidal ideation, abuse, alcohol and drugs, self-harm, and other disturbing topics. Listener discretion is advised. Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 1 of Mikey on Mute. We're titling this one, Coming Off Mute. This is my podcast. I've been having this idea for many years and really wanted to have it come to fruition organically. This podcast is going to be about mental health. Specifically, we're going to dive a little bit more into my journey and my demons, how I've been dealing with my mental health. But truly, the ultimate goal is to help break the stigma of reaching out for help. I want to open up that conversation and make it a two-way where we can talk about all the things and how it can affect us, the different demons that we're dealing with, if you want to call them that. But I want to really reach out and make sure that others know that this is not a taboo topic to talk about, that it's not something we need to avoid because it makes us look weak or something like that. Truly reaching out is a sign of strength, and admitting that you need some help and some resources, that's huge. So if you ever find yourself at that point, make sure that you give yourself the time to really understand that you are doing what's best for yourself by reaching out for help. I like to say you wouldn't ignore a broken leg and just say, nope, I'm going to tough it out and get through. So why do we take that approach to mental health? Why do we want to pretend that things are okay and everything isn't going into some kind of spiral or something like that? So just to please others and somehow seem okay, it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense when you think about it, when you break it down. As I stated, this podcast is going to be a mix of my personal journey and a conversation of others. I want to really get that conversation flowing organically, and it's going to start with me talking a little bit about my journey, and hopefully it can resonate with others and open up an organic conversation, really. A little bit about me. My name is Mikey on Mute. My pronouns are he, him. I'm 35 years old. I have been on my journey to work on my mental health for about the last 5 years, roughly. And I have been in a few different situations when it comes to mental health, as far as dealing with it the incorrect ways. I've had some experiences where I tried to go about it the correct way and it didn't quite get me there. And it's really a continuing journey. And so I want to make sure that everyone understands that there are ebbs and flows to this. There is no right or wrong way, and any steps you're taking forward, that's a victory. I learned in one of my treatments that you never quite go back to square one. I know that we like to be hard on ourselves, and you know, as soon as we trip and stumble, then we start to say, oh no, I'm going back to square one. But realistically, that's not true. You can't go back to square one because you've now had this new experience. You've learned a new tool or a new perspective. You can't possibly go back to where you were at that point in your life. when you look at it that way, it's pretty exciting that we can't go back to square one. Maybe we go back to square 1.5 or something, but you're never quite back at that start of the race, and you should really take those victories and be proud of them. How did I come up with the name Mikey on Mute for the podcast? Well, to me, being on mute was, I was worried about how I'd be perceived by others if I did talk about the things bothering me. How was it going to look to others or sound to others if I told them that my head is constantly going at about 50 miles per hour, going down 17 different paths, trying to mind read everyone's reaction to me, what they're going to think, and then try to generate some sort of people-pleasing answer that's going to keep them from thinking I'm a weirdo, thinking I'm a freak, or something like that. How do I do that? So the solution at that time was, I don't. I'm going to stay silent. I'm going to stay quiet. So I muted myself. I figured that if I didn't talk about it, somehow I would be able to go forward, because we're taught at an early age, especially as those of us who identify as men, that we don't show emotion, that we need to be strong for others to hold the whole family together. So I only knew that option. I only knew how to stay on mute. Unfortunately, you can only stay on mute for so long before those thoughts start to pile up and pile up. And you can either reach out for help to try to start to declutter that, or you can let it overwhelm you. And unfortunately, a lot of us let ourselves get overwhelmed. Sometimes it's to a point where we get close to making decisions that we will regret, or doing decisions we will regret. For some of our fellow loved ones, they've made the choice that it got so overwhelming that they decided to take it into their own hands. And unfortunately, I've had friends and family and others close to me decide to take that path, and it's not easy for anybody. My personal story will be messy, just like life is. I'm going to touch on some things that I have to deal with in my life and go through my mind, and I will do my best to keep it in some kind of chronological order, but unfortunately for the story, I have a tendency to block out a lot of parts of my memory that are hard for me to process. Think of it like a file cabinet. If there is a file cabinet drawer that is hard for me to open, I just lock it and don't even attempt to. So there may be some holes in the order here, so please be patient with me. One thing I'm working through in therapy for myself is understanding how to unlock a few of those file cabinet drawers without it bringing up an entirely new wound, but to understand a little bit more about why I do the things I do. One of the main drivers that has brought me to really look internally on mental health, especially on my own, is how I was taught a lot of things in life. I think this topic resonates with a lot of people because it's how a lot of us start off and how a lot of us live our lives. If you're on my TikTok, the Mikey on Mute is the TikTok handle. If you go to Mikey on Mute TikTok, you can see it's one of the top videos watched. I think it's because a lot of people can understand that a big topic of how we are raised, especially, again, those of us who identify as men, is a toxic masculinity. It's not something that just affects men. However, there is a lot of different gender stereotypes that shape how we are approaching things in life, and it starts from a very young age. If I were to go on WebMD, toxic masculinity is defined as an attitude or set of social guidelines stereotypically associated with manliness, that often have a negative impact on men, women, and society in general. That last part really hit me. Not only does it have a negative impact on men, but it also has a negative impact on women and society in general. I'm a father of two boys. One's 16, one's going to be 13 later this year. And so it worries me that some of these ideals that I was taught in toxic masculinity may wind up causing some sort of skewed view to continue if I don't step in and make some sort of changes. My boys might continue to see that's how it's supposed to go, even though that's not the intention. It can still leak out in different ways, because in my 35 years, I've been told it's one way for men. You get a set of guidelines and bullet points, and they're drilled into you from a very young age about how to act, how not to act, what to say and do, what you can like, what you should be able to do. You'll notice in many of my episodes going forward, should statements run my life. I have these voices in my head that say I should be doing things, and one of them comes from this toxic masculinity. I work every week with my therapist to try to turn those should statements into could statements and get a little bit more perspective. However, that's for a whole nother episode. So, toxic masculinity, like I said, it's not something that's just brought up for me personally. This is something that's brought up for a lot of people. You see things that are kind of driven into you as far as from society, whether it might be movies, how your family talks, how others act. Just watching other men act can really give you this idea. You see things like homophobia, a need for control, promiscuity. Wow, that was a tough word for me to say. Let's try that again. Promiscuity. Very much needing to have a lot of sexual activity. A refusal to help with household chores or duties. You get these gender roles where that's a boy job, that's a girl job. You don't do that. Toxic masculinity can come out as regular aggression or even sexual aggression. And typically this aggression is towards women. You can see it come out as risk-taking, drugs, alcohol, gambling, racing at high speeds, anything to get that adrenaline going, because adrenaline makes you feel invincible, which at some point is going to make you feel more manly, right? It can also lead to violence. When that aggression isn't enough as far as yelling or verbally abusing somebody or emotionally abusing somebody, it can come out in a physical way. Violence is also used at a young age to teach us sort of a pecking order about how manly somebody is. You remember when we were kids, you play a lot of playground games, and one of them is kind of like a king of the hill. Who can stay on top of the hill or the, you know, whatever you have at the park that gives you a little bit of a higher status that you can oversee. So you're at the top of the hill and your job is to push people back that are trying to take your spot. As the non-king, you are trying to push the king down and take over. It can be very innocent in most ways. However, it does teach us that if you are the stronger one, that you are better, your status is higher. This comes from that life we came from where we needed to survive, which taught us the fight and flight, and you had to be stronger or faster than the other one in order to survive. So now we are continuing to learn that even though we don't need to be the strongest or the fastest to survive, we want to be. We want to be that king, that higher status. One of the things that status showed me was there are many ways to get it. You don't have to be violent. I'm not the strongest person. I don't have a large amount of upper body strength. I'm not going to be doing push-ups. And so I had to figure out how to survive. Well, since I couldn't be the strongest, one thing I learned from a very early age from media, from society, from family and friends, was that money can buy status. If you can't be the strongest, maybe you could be the richest, have the newest gadgets, be able to go out to eat whenever you want to, have the nicest car, wear the nicest clothes. It brings a status, so you may not be the strongest, but hey, these people look up to me. These people respect me because I have something they don't. And so that's how I was taught from a young age on how to get status. Now, eventually wound up doing things in the wrong way to try to get money and putting myself in a really bad position financially. But I thought I had to do that. As the provider, as the man, I thought everything revolved around whether or not I can buy things. And that stuck with me to this day. It's something I constantly struggle with when I'm trying to understand my worth and my status. And why can't I provide in the right way? Because my mind tells me the right way is to provide money, to buy things, to pay all the bills, take everyone out, and I can't do that. It's not feasible. So my brain tells me I'm not man enough. It lights that comparison fire where maybe I'm not as rich as somebody else. Maybe I can't provide what they need. Then I start looking at the other things, and it reminds me I'm not the strongest. There are others that have bigger muscles, that have better physiques, that can do those push-ups, that can run a mile, everything like that. And suddenly, I'm my worst, excuse me, I'm my own worst enemy. In that comparison, suddenly the status has turned against me. And I feel like we are constantly searching for how to recreate that feeling. And unfortunately, we find a lot of bad vices to try to get that status back. The status becomes, how can we put others down? Because we constantly want to go back to being the king of the hill. So we shove others down, maybe not physically, but with our words, with our actions and behaviors. I have tried to do a lot of diving back into the past to understand why I have all this toxic masculinity inside of me. My brain, and everyone's brain at that point, is a problem solver. It wants to understand the puzzle. And so I've done so much to try to root cause why that toxic masculinity is there. And a big thing I'm learning through therapy is that it's not as important to root cause and find out why something is. However, the bigger solution is to understand and think about, how can we stop this from happening in the future? How do we change that behavior? Because I think a lot of us fall back on, well, that's just how men act. Boys will be boys. We fall back on, oh, maybe if we apologize, everything will be okay. I've done that plenty. What do you mean you don't take me back? I apologized. Well, that's just how men act. You should know better. And these kind of statements where I thought words fixed everything. And they don't. So we have to understand, how do we change those behaviors instead of just using words, instead of just saying sorry? What can we do to stop the things that bring us to those actions from toxic masculinity? Some things we can do are be aware of the situation around us, be aware of how our actions and words are affecting others. We look at, you know, nonverbal cues, verbal cues. Do the people around you look happy when you're talking or acting that way? We can be open. This is a big thing. It's hard for me to be open. It's hard for me to be vulnerable. You'll hear in a future episode about a time I opened up and was very vulnerable with somebody and it backfired in a big way. So I have to learn that not everyone is going to use your vulnerability as fuel, as ammo. So be more open. Be empathetic. There are so many people struggling with things. You hear the quote all the time that everyone is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Yet we still expect people to behave in a certain way, and we don't give them any sort of leeway or grace. So just be a little empathetic and understand that maybe there's more happening than we can see. Be accepting. We want to accept others regardless of how they identify, what they look like, what they do for work, how much money they have, anything like that. We need to accept people for their actions. Are they a good human being? We want to be a role model. I talked earlier, I have two boys. How would I want them to act? So I need to be a role model going forward with my actions and behaviors. Be a good parent. Be a good partner. Be a good family member, be a good friend. These seem like common sense statements. However, I think a lot of times we forget how to be good at those relationships with people around us. We take them for granted. We get so comfortable with them being around us that we wind up taking things out on them, and that's not fair to them. We need to be more accountable. We need to listen, and we need to make a plan on how to change our behaviors. Again, just accepting that we need to change is great. However, it doesn't do anything until we put it into an action plan. So we really need to understand that we should be listening to hear and not listening to respond. I struggle a lot with the responding. And instead of responding, I typically react. There's usually trigger words that happen or phrases that bring me back to these toxic masculinity things and stereotypes and checklists that suddenly my logical brain turns off and I'm pretty useless at that conversation. I'm not listening to understand. I'm listening to find keywords that I can bark back at, that I can get defensive and reactive to. Anytime there is a call for me to have another perspective, it should be an opportunity for me to grow and learn. And instead, it's typically an opportunity where I just shut off my logical brain and go into defensive how dare you mode. How dare you question me and my actions. And I think it's very typical for a lot of us to get that way. We like to think that we have it all figured out, and unfortunately that's not the case at all. So these are just a few things that we can do to take a step back from toxic masculinity, to start teaching ourselves and others how to act correctly, how to be good humans. And in turn, that's going to create good men, good people in this world. I really want to thank you all for joining me for this first episode of Mikey on Mute. I look forward to future episodes where I get to talk to you more about my story, get into some actual details, and open up that conversation, break that stigma. So let's have some fun, do some good today. And until next time, this is Mikey going back on mute. Thank you.